LV, Belton, South Carolina.
ATY Mobile.
Before you bow, P.
Enter.
How about yourself?
I'm going to run some errands today and trying to fight this traffic.
Again?
I'm in Taylor's.
Dale, I believe I have here in my logbook, just looking, you know, I've been planning to keep my logbooks that way I could look up the call sign and get the name, but, I haven't really done that because, after, like, the 45, 48, like, logs I have in here, it's hard to find, like, an individual person.
We've officially, I mean, we've talked, I think, twice, but I don't know if we've actually officially met.
I'm not seeing you in my log. That feeling that you were in here, but I guess not. All right, so I found my pencil here, and okay, just a second. Since I found, okay, here it is. Here's my pencil. Okay, so what did you call that again?
It is Kilo India 4 Delta Tango Yankee. KI4DTY. And this is Daniel, and I'm in Taylor's.
I got KI4DTY, correct? Hello. Now you, I believe you're in my 49th contact. So, getting close to 100. I'll probably hit that eventually.
Oh, especially, I know that you're trying some other repeaters as well. So, I know before I heard you talking to, I think, Patrick about hitting that Mount Mitchell repeater. And I'm sure you probably reach 100 off of that.
I haven't really played around too much with the Mount Mitchell repeater. I just prefer this repeater better, so I'm normally on Caesar's Head. I bet if I really worked Mount Mitchell, there's normally a lot of people on there. I probably could get more contacts, but I just prefer talking on Caesar's.
That seems to be a good 2-meter repeater. There seems to be a lot of nice people, and so it seems to overall be pretty decent.
It doesn't seem like there's not as... Well, I don't know. I just haven't been able to, like, people on the Mount Mitchell repeater don't seem nearly as warm and welcoming as the people on the Caesar's Head. You know, that doesn't go for everybody who's on the Mount Mitchell repeater, but, you know, that's kind of how I've discovered. But I kind of got to know more of the people on the Caesar's Head repeater.
I agree with you, but you've been able to meet a lot of people on this Caesar's Head one, so I hear you talking every now and then, so I know you've had some pretty good contacts.
Yeah, on the radio every day. Some days I'm not successful, but normally I'm on here. Normally in the evening, but in this Christmas break I've been able to get on the afternoon.
In Simpsonville?
In Traverse Rest, South Carolina.
See, for me, I know where you're at.
It is.
Taylor's, do you know where, Taylor's First Baptist is?
I'm not sure, kind of looking, trying to have a map of South Carolina here and trying to, locate it. I've heard of the town before, just, I'm not sure exactly where it is.
So, are you close to the Walmart in TR?
It's 10 minutes away from the Walmart in TR.
You know that side road that goes down beside TR, not Poinsett, but the other road, I think it's called State Park?
I'm not so good with street names. Not sure. Yeah. I only really know the street names of the roads that we drive a lot, but I'm not familiar with that.
But no, I'm about I'm probably 15 minutes away from that Walmart in TR.
K5WLF. Good afternoon, Alexander, and I'm not familiar with your name there, sir. But State Park Road, Alexander, are you familiar where the Burger King is in Travelers Rest?
Right by Walmart.
That's affirmative. That's the road he's talking about.
Yeah, I think I know where that is, but yeah. Daniel, I was able to find Taylor's on my map here, and yeah, it's not too far away from TR, it's just like right next door.
Yep, right next door. Thank you, sir, and my name is Daniel.
All right, Daniel, this is Leroy. I'm also located in Taylor's near Brooklyn Elementary. Brooklyn is right there on East Lee Road. East Lee and Brooklyn Road. If you know where the skating rink is there in Taylor's, that's Brooklyn right there. And we're right there at the corner of East Lee and Brooklyn.
Yep, I know where you're at. Cool. Yeah, that's right around the corner. My kids actually go skating there every Friday.
Conversation there, and thought I'd give you a little bit of assistance there with the location. Talk to you later, 73. Merry Christmas, K5WLL.
Merry Christmas, sir. Have a good one.
So, Daniel, how often do you go to the Walmart in TR? Is that like your main Walmart, or you got one closer?
We have a Walmart over here in Taylor's, but I'm a photographer, so I go over to Furman a lot, and I'll go just that back way past Walmart. So I'm probably over that way probably twice a week, once a week maybe.
Videography and some photography as a living. He runs his own company, but yeah, I was just wondering if he does, I've seen a truck at Walmart, it's a red Dodge with like three antennas on it. I'm just curious if I could actually find like the owner of that truck. I just thought that'd be interesting, but yeah, so.
10-4-ZLK. My name is Shane, and Alexander. This is Shane, N4ZLK. I believe the truck you're talking about belongs to WR4XM. He lives somewhere over down near Pumpkin Town, I believe, or out that way in Pickens. WR4XM. Vandal, I think that is his name.
The only thing that stuns me is he lives in Pickens, and why is he at the Walmart at Traveler's Rest? And I was talking to another guy who lives in Traveler's Rest, and he said he's also in that truck at Walmart. So it seems like that guy must live somewhere in TR. I don't know. It could be mistaken.
Truck, and sometimes I'm at Walmart, and I know the one you're talking about. He parks up, well, I think, anyway, parks up front there. Or it could be me, but I'm not at Walmart that much. So, anyway, but I have seen I believe it is Mandel, but I know the call is WR4XM. And he lives, well, I'm assuming he lives in Pickens County. I think he's more towards Pumpkin Town, so it would be closer to come to that Walmart. N4ZLK, go ahead. I'm just working here.
Well, an amateur radio license plate and three antennas, and I think three radios inside. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll eventually be able to make contact with him, and that would be interesting.
Hang on just a second. Let me drop the repeater for a second. I'll have to look it up, but there's a repeater that you might be able to hit, and they have a meeting or a net every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, except for the third Tuesday of the month, I believe. And it's the Pickens County Emergency Net, and he checks in, and sometimes he runs that net. So if you go over there, I'll look up the frequency for you here in a few minutes, but I'm driving, and it'll take me a couple minutes. I can call you back in a little bit, N4ZLK.
7-3s, I'll probably talk to you in a minute. And Daniel, are you still in there?
Yep. Shane, it was nice to meet you, sir. Have a good one.
4ZLK, go ahead, Alexander.
What have you been up to lately?
I was actually in Charleston this past weekend. I was working down there filming a wedding. And just got back on Sunday and ended up feeling a little under the weather, and so I was trying to take half of a day yesterday, but when you run your own business, that doesn't really always help. But, yep, so that's what I've been doing. Now, today, I'm trying to catch up.
also you did some weddings. Yeah, my dad, kind of tries to stay clear of weddings. He doesn't really enjoy doing them, but he does a lot of Grubhub shoots and commercials and,
Alexander, what's your dad's, what's the name of your dad's company?
He's named it Crawford Shutter, and his website is CrawfordShutter.com.
Did you say Copper Shutter?
Dead Shutter.
Good, I'm glad that he does that. I'm sure he's able to stay home some and spend time with you.
Works from home pretty much, and he has done jobs that he has to go out on, but he's only gone for like half day at the most. But what's your name of your company?
Better, B E T T E R, Tie, T I E, photoandvideo.com.
Interesting. So is it just you that works, or do you have a team?
I have a team of four.
My dad just does it himself, so it's been nice to have him at home, and he's getting his ham radio license, so he's almost ready to take the test, so hopefully we'll hear him on the air shortly.
That'd be cool. Yep, I run the company by myself. I just have a team, and I work from home as well, which is nice, and I have a three kids that my wife homeschools as well.
K4VAS. Tess, just wanted to let you know there's another photographer listening. I used to do it many, many years ago. Started back in 1972, actually. The only stuff I have online anymore is at wayne.photoreflect.com. Check it out. And I wrote down your website's down here, too. I'll check yours out as well. Back to you, K4VAS.
Will you give me your call sign and your name again, sir?
Call sign is Kilo 4, Victor Alpha Sierra, K4VAS. Name is Wayne.
And yep, I started out forever ago too, not that far back, but I think I started in photography, developing my own film back in the late 80s, early 90s.
That's about the time I got out of it. I did weddings. I worked for a big studio in New Jersey for many, I'd say 14 years or more. I was their chief wedding photographer over there for a long time. But, I did my share of weddings.
Yeah, bad part about going over to digital, which, obviously we are now, you take a lot more photos, and you're not as careful with how many photos you take. We've actually changed here probably the last 5 years and really try to be more purposeful in, how many photos we're taking during a wedding or during an event. Because you still got to process it. I mean, yeah, you're not developing it, but you still got to go through and digitize, going through Lightroom, Photoshop, and you're still working through all the photos.
Comment.
Yeah, well, that's the natural effect of digital is, it leads to a scattergun approach. But both of you, having worked in the field, just as well as I do, and out of a roll of 24 or 36 photos, how many good ones do you get? 4, 5, 6? So, yeah, for better or worse, it's become a numbers game, and that's what digital leads to. I would always try to be a little more careful when I shot film. But even when you were doing weddings, you would probably go to the wedding with 10 or 12 rolls of film, because I might have to shoot 100 pictures to get, or 200 to get 50 good ones put in the book.
Yeah, for us, Let me make sure I got this. For wedding day, we usually shoot about, for an 8-hour day, we typically will take about 1,500 photos. Out of that 1,500, you know, we're probably going to get 500 good photos, meaning people's eyes open and stuff like that.
Back in the days of film, that would be, let's see, 36 times, what would that be, 50 rolls of film? Out of 1,500, to get 500, 400 or 500 good ones, you know, assuming you're being careful, that sounds about right.
Yeah, well, things have changed because when I was doing it, got 10 rolls. We were given 10 rolls, or actually 12 rolls, but we were supposed to take 10 rolls of 12 exposures each, and we were expected to have 120 good saleable pictures. Otherwise, we got our butts chewed out.
The 12 exposure, so you were given 10 of those. So you were only given 120 pictures. So basically, every one of these has to be a good picture that we could put in the album. I mean, it's a nice goal, but sounds unrealistic.
Well, that's the way it was. I can tell you stories about my ex-boss. He's since gone on to be with the Lord, but we were expected to take, everyone should be a saleable picture. But I agree. I think digital has made it so easy that I couldn't even imagine going through 1,500 pictures for each wedding. That's a lot of pictures. Anyway, back to you. I'm just throwing my 2 cents in there. K4VAS.
That's nice to hear, Shane. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I remember developing film, and out of a 36 roll, I mean, you were blessed to get 10 good photos out of that, maybe 15 on a good day, depending on what you're shooting. But, yeah, with the digital, it's kind of... it's a two-edged sword, you know. We can get a lot more usable images, but we're also having to do a lot more work on the tail end, too, having to cull through 1,500 photos, and then you get it down to about 800. So now that 800, you actually start doing your Photoshop where you're swapping heads out and getting everybody where everybody's looking at the camera all at once through Photoshop. So by the time you get done with all that, you're probably looking at closer to 500-600 photos. And then out of that, you may cull through a little bit more to kind of fine-tune it to get, you know, the cream of the crop. But, yeah, usually we're given anywhere from 500 to 600 photos. But I remember when we first started in the digital world, I was worried about having enough photos. So I think our first wedding, you know, was like 3,000 photos, and it was ridiculous.
Well, PM, I hope you don't mind, but would you be opposed to third-party traffic? My dad would like to throw in some comments here. He's also a videographer, photographer.
Good to have hop in.
Oh, good to listen to you guys talk. I'm about the same on wedding photos, about 500 keepers at the end of the day. But really, I'm an oddball. I mainly eat the last 10 years shooting stock video for a living, so I have roughly 20,000 clips I've shot I have up on the stock libraries.
What was your name again?
My name is John.
You doing it for like Storyblocks or a company like that?
Yeah, they're a little low for me. I was exclusive with Getty Images for about 7 years. My main site is Pond5. I have some on Shutterstock and a few other sites like ArtGrid, a few others like that.
I've been doing stock stuff for a while, but I just, I don't know, it didn't seem to work out well for me. Trying to move over to that and... But I don't know, but I think more power to you, and if that's something you're able to do, that is pretty cool, and I'm a little jealous.
Well, the easy part is not dealing with too many clients, but I do a lot of commercial work for, I signed up with a company called Smart Shoot, and I've done a lot of, probably about 400 shoots for real estate, to YouTube, to you name it. So I do quite a bit of that as well.
We don't do a lot of real estate. We mostly do weddings and then just corporate jobs, talking heads, but also promotional videos and product placement, stuff like that.
Weddings is where the bread and butter is at. They just bring me too much stress to love them that much.
Tell me about it. I'm just got done dealing with a wedding this past weekend. That's what I was telling Alexander. I was in Charleston, which is about a three and a half hour drive from me where I had to go. And it was downtown, and so it was impossible to find parking. And then when we got there, the bride was already running an hour late. And then, you know, of course, that delays absolutely everything. And then church was still another 15, 20 minutes away, and there was no parking at the church either. So I had to walk all my gear into the church, and I thought I was going to die.
Oh, those are some good times, man. I've been in some tough situations, too. But, you know, it's still fun to me, so I still keep shooting. I still enjoy it.
I still keep shooting. It's fun to meet new people and hang out, you know, get to meet other vendors. We had a first for us in the fact that the wedding coordinator, which was a professional, actually got beyond hammered. She could barely even stand up, and so we were trying to figure out what was going on, and she could barely stand up to try to get the bride and groom out. So me and the photographer ended up coordinating the last probably hour of the whole wedding day.
That's a riot. Oh, that's too much fun. The stories are fun. So listen, it was great talking to you. Yes, I'll be sitting for my license soon, and I'll be able to jump on. So thank you for letting me jump on here through Alexander.
I enjoyed the queue, so John, it was nice to meet you, sir. And yeah, definitely get your license. I know last year I studied during Christmas, and I think I took mine in like April or something like that, or March. But yeah, it was great talking to you, sir, and you have a great day.
So KO4ULP for station ID.
AI4DTY.
Wayne, if you're still on there, I just want to make sure I have your call sign right. I got Kilo 4 Zulu Alpha Sierra.
4 Victor Alpha Sierra. Victor Alpha Sierra. K4VAS.
Thank you for that correction. I believe you're my 50th log in my logbook, so halfway to 100, I believe.
Last.
50th log in my logbook, so I'm now halfway to 100, I believe, with logging contacts.
Yeah, Roger, I copied that, but someone jumped in right behind you that time. I didn't catch that one.
Congratulations, Wayne. The 50th QSO.
Oh, okay. I guess that is in order to some degree, isn't it? Well, sounds like he's well on his way to get that 100 mark, but that's cool. And Alexander, if you come back with your call sign slowly for me, please.
Kilo Oscar 4 Uniform Lima Papa. KO4ULP.
Okay, Kilo Oscar 4 Uniform Lima Papa. Okay, thank you. And it was nice talking to both of you.
Just let me make sure I got it. IN4ZLK K4VAS KO4ULP. Listen, guys, it was a pleasure talking to you, but I gotta get going. enjoyed the CUSA and talking about photography a little bit. Alexander, you have a great day, and keep going after those call signs. 73s, and Merry Christmas all.
K4VAS, I'll be clear and listening.
K4FLL Mobile.
K4UBOP.
KS, K4FLL.
KS, go. Where are you?
Just left in Tom's house, now heading back your way.
Catch you later. I'll be monitoring here in 82. K4VAS.
K4FLL.
I have K4FLL. That's my son. That'll be 51.
KULP, are you still on forget your call sign now.
It's affirmative. This is K4FLL, Kilo 4 Fox, Lima, Lima.
K4FLL.
That's affirmative. The name here is Chris. What are we doing here? Just logging calls today?
Well, and, I'm willing to chat if you got the time for that, too.
Yeah, that's affirmative. I got us some time. What we chat about?
Well, I haven't thought about that, but I guess we can stir up a conversation.
About the weather, it's cold and rainy. That's all I know about it right now, actually.
Looks out the window like it's cloudy and rainy and it's been pretty chilly. We were up in North Carolina today and there's a little bit of ice falling from the sky.
Yeah, I'm up right here at GSP right now. It's pretty steady rain now. And 41 degrees. Actually, I used to live up here, but I live in Key Largo, Florida now, where it's about a balmy 85 degrees and rainy right now.
Key Largo, Florida. We go down to the Florida Keys every spring, and we stay at Key Marathon.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm up, like I said, I'm up here right now visiting. I used to live up here, but like I said, I do live in Key Largo now. But yeah, you passed right by my house on the way down there to Marathon. So, yeah, so you know what I'm talking about the nice weather then.
Our annual visit to the Keys, we go down with some friends, and we spend about 10 days down there.
Well, when's your next trip down?
March sometime.
All right, cool deal. Well, when you come through Key Largo, if you got a mobile unit with you, same frequency, same. I got the same repeater frequency down there as the 610 here. You'll just need a 94.8 tone on it when you transmit on it, but it covers northern Key Largo area.
That might just be the same repeater that happens to be on Echolink. Do you know if it's connected to Echolink?
It used to be connected. I don't have it connected there to Echolink right now. I had moved and put a new tower up, and I do not have it linked into the network at this time. But it will be by March for sure.
On the repeater?
That's affirmative. Yeah, it's my repeater down there. Same call sign is WX4SFL. And same frequency here, 610, but it has a 94.8 tone on it to transmit.
Let me find a piece of paper so I can write that down so that way I don't forget. I'll have to figure out how to set the tone on the radio feed. I still haven't figured out how to do that, so probably figure that out before March. So what's the tone again?
It's a tone of 94.8, and same frequency as this repeater here.
That will work. Do you have a boat or anything at the Keys, or what do you do down there at the Keys?
Yeah, I do have a boat. We own a home healthcare company, me and my wife, so I work from home. But I live about a block from the ocean and, enjoy the life.
A fishing boat or what kind of boat?
Yeah, it's a bay boat, a little 20-foot center console bay boat. I've had it about 2 years now.
Any, like, snorkeling or scuba diving or, what's that called, windsurfing? No. Or, I'm forgetting what it's called. We have, like, the big kite, like, the board.
No, I don't do that. I do the snorkeling. I don't dive anymore, really. I'm certified. I just haven't done it in forever. But I do a lot of snorkeling, fishing, boating, stuff like that a lot. But I just haven't done any more scuba diving recently.
Scuba dive, I love the water, and I especially love to be under the water. So me and my brother try to create a diving system with a pump and a 20-foot hose. And well, it was actually a pretty neat system. It started leaking, so we never really tried it out except in the bathtub. But it had a snorkel, two snorkel mouthpieces. So when you push air in, the snorkel mouthpiece will let air into you. And then when you blow out, the other snorkel mouthpiece will let the air out. So that way you don't breathe in carbon dioxide.
You had it going on there. How old are you?
The only problem with our system is we were using duct tape, and it just wasn't quite watertight enough. So, I don't know, maybe with some waterproof tape it would work, and yeah.
Yeah, well, like I said, you're definitely old enough. You haven't done it yet. I'm definitely looking to get your scuba certification for next time you go down there. Pretty sure you can do it at 13. I don't remember exactly if there was an age limit on it or not. But especially if you go down there, because, you know, Keys are the diving capital. I mean, there's nothing but diving down there. And you snorkel it, I'm sure, so you know what's down there. So it's definitely worth it if you I dove for 20 years already, so I've already done that. But snorkeling is all I do, because everywhere I go, it's only 8 to 20 feet. So unless you want to do like a wreck dive or anything like that, those are a little bit deeper down there.
I've done a few coral reefs. The last, I think, few years, or last 2 years, I think we went to the boat once and went out to the Sombrero Lighthouse, to the reef over there. You probably know where that is. And then 1 year we had, we're staying at a church, and they have like upper apartment, and like one of the members of the church has a boat, and he took us out, and Dillian, we also went to the Sombrero Lighthouse there. So I snorkeled there, and I think a few other reefs, but I don't remember what they're called, because we went on a charter, like a tour.
There's a couple lighthouses down there. You got Alligator Reef, you've got Carey's Ford Lighthouse. I'm not sure the one right off Marathon. I can't remember the name of it right off bat, because I don't go down there that much. But I've dove the other two before. But there's, like I said, there's lots of wrecks, lots of lighthouses, lots of little patch coral reefs. Come down there during season, you go lobster, and you can get a lobster permit and go catch lobsters and stuff. And of course, if you like that stuff, it's good to eat. But
and so I don't eat any meat or fish, so lobsters don't necessarily sound appealing to me. But so yeah, the, I believe the lighthouse off Marathon is Sombrero Lighthouse, and I like to go up and like climb lighthouses, actually get into lighthouses. Is there any lighthouse that you can actually get into, or are they all closed off?
Sombrero, though. Yeah, you're right about that. Sombrero Beach Lighthouse. Actually, the Alligator Reef Lighthouse was just purchased by a nonprofit group, which is supposed to be going ahead and rehabbing the lighthouse to reopen it for public access again. Because right now, you're not allowed to go on any of them, but they just did this. I think in the last 3 months, they got possession of the lighthouse, and they're working on going ahead and, like I said, rehabbing it enough to where they can actually open it up to the public to go up and view it again.
And if I got it right, it's Alligator Lighthouse. Well, if they have it open before March, or during March, I'll convince my dad to take me down there, and you know, if they don't have it ready, there's always next year.
I don't know if it'll be open this March, because like I said, they just got possession of it from Noah, I believe, because we'd actually talked to them about sponsoring a repeater on the lighthouse, an off-grid repeater that we can utilize for the lighthouse events and whatnot, and also for the MCOM down there. So it probably won't be open to the, I mean, you can still go out to it. It's a beautiful place to snorkel and all that. You just wouldn't be allowed to climb up it or go up inside it at this time. But there's a lot of nice natural reef right around it that you can snorkel on or dive on.
They open it, are they like planning to like have like a boat that takes people out to it, and then you like go ahead and tour it, or when they open it, yeah, are you expected to have your own boat, and do they let you put the repeater on the lighthouse?
Reached out to them about doing the repeater. Haven't heard back from them yet. There's, like I said, it's a nonprofit that took possession of it. I don't know for sure if they're going to do tours out of it or if they're going to, you know, or how they're going to work that. But it's right off because there's Bud and Mary's Marina, which is pretty popular right there. They do have dive boats that go out there right from Bud and Mary's Marina. It's in Lower Matacombe. But like I said, I just happened to read the article about it and reached out to them, but I'm not sure about their future plans yet. I know they just got it and I'm going to rehab it.
I've always just think lighthouses are, like, interesting. I was able to actually climb up one in St. Simon's Island in Georgia, and it was a nice lighthouse, and I liked it so much I climbed it up twice. I just love to see how they work, and the view from up there is just really amazing.
Another one also, it's on land, though. It's in Miami on Key Biscayne. There's been a bunch of movies and stuff like that. And there's a cool tour around there from the old Indian village and the old lighthouse keeper's house is there and everything like that. And I do believe you have to go through the tour to get up. I do believe they still allow people up in that lighthouse. But it is on the mainland on Key Biscayne. Well, I guess it's technically an island, but that's up in Miami. So if you flew into Miami, you'd probably hit that first or on your way out or something.
It's happened to be the Jupiter Inlet Lighthouse?
No, that's way farther north. This would actually be Key Biscayne, which is just south of Miami.
We'll check that out on our way down or up. I'm not sure. So, yeah, we drive down and up, so, you know, we be able to have the freedom to, like, stop at historic places, and we did the Everglades one year and stopped there, and that was been a few years ago, and, you know, that was pretty neat to ride on the airboat and, like, see the alligators and hold one.
You know, I've been down there now, in Keys now for 9 years, and still haven't been to the Everglades in the sense of any of the gator farms or anything like that. I've been through there, rode through there all the time. I was out there camping and out there last weekend, but never been to one of the airboat rides yet or any of that. I need to do that, though.
Neat. It's been a while, a few years back, so I don't really remember it too well, but I remember it slightly. Lightly. I think I remember holding the alligator the best. And that was really neat. They had, like, a small, like, baby alligator that me and my brother held.
That's cool. Well, I look forward to seeing you down there if you make it. We can maybe meet up down there with the family for lunch or something, or at least get a QS on the radio down there. I have to jump off here and take a phone call, though, on my way in, so I'll go ahead and clear on this final with you. And it was good talking to you. This is K4FLL Mobile.
Talking to you, too, and hopefully I can reach you on the keys down on the radio, and 73 is K04ULP, and I'll be clear.
Before Mike.
K4ULP.
I meant to ask you last time I talked to you. Have you talked to James at all? K0FE is his call sign.
I'm not sure. I don't think I have a James in my logbook, but I've also talked to people and just never bothered to log them. So I don't think so, but I might have. I'm not sure.
You may want to make a note of that, James, and it's Kilo Zero Foxtrot Echo. He is your neighbor. He lives on the next street over from you, and he would be an excellent resource, especially, I think a couple of weeks ago when I talked to you, you were talking about maybe finding out some things about the Arduino and things along that line, and that is right up his alley. He's taught classes for us when we do our classes. So I just want to make sure that you knew it. You had a hand that close.
I found a map that shows where people are and how close they are, and I know we have two neighbors I saw that were pretty close. I just pulled up the map here, so let me see if I can find him.
You go out your street back to the main road instead of going to the right, like you're going back out to 414. If you make a left, he's on the next street over on the same side.
Our side is K0FE, and he lives on Starview Road, correct?
Now, I can't be sure about the street name. I am driving right now. I can't look it up. But I do know, yeah, he's right there on that next street over from me.
It says his name is James Robinson, and his call sign is K0FE.
James is a good guy. I've been up to his house a couple of times making videos for doing Arduinos for the class to go up on the YouTube site. He'd be a real good resource and a real good neighbor to have.
Checking his dog, but that was before I was really interested in the radio. I see his antennas in the back and the antenna on his truck. You know, I was hoping to catch him in person sometime and say hi, you know. I'll just maybe wait till I see him walking, or I don't know, maybe I'll get the guts to knock on his door.
James, he's a real good guy, and I just wanted to make sure that you knew he was that close to you, and he would be a good resource. So I had heard you talking earlier, and I didn't want to butt in, I was glad that when I got back in the car that you were still on the radio, so I wanted to yell and give that information to you.
Yeah, I know where he lives exactly, and I hope to be able to meet him sometimes, and in fact, which I found is pretty, I don't know how you say this, interesting is before he lived in the house, I don't know if he made contact with K2RCL, but that used to be his house before he was a ham operator. So, you know, now two ham operators have lived in the house that one was a ham operator. One wasn't a ham operator yet.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm sitting at a red light trying to look up his, look him up in my phone here. Duck out for just a few minutes. I'll be back on here in just a minute. I got a phone call going on. Kilo Zulu for Mike Mobile.
Probably catch you in a minute. KO4 ULP, and I'll be clear but listening.
4 ULP, KO4 TMA.
4 ULP.
Simon, we've spoken once or twice before. KZ4TMA. I think that may have been, maybe it was Shane you were talking to. I know the voice and I know the call sign. There aren't too many KZ call signs out there, so maybe that was him. But how are you doing, Alexander?
And you kind of cut out there, so I didn't get your name. What was it?
That I'm mobile at the moment, so I may cut in and out. But this is Simon. Simon in Greenville, KZ4TMA. We've spoken once or twice before.
KZ4TMA, yeah. I have you down in my logbook. We've spoken before, and I think it's been a while, though.
I heard you at the end of your conversation there. I just wanted to check in and see if you had given any more thoughts to the idea that you and I talked about one time. You know, you're being very diligent about your logbook, and I was wondering if you might enjoy making a bit of a logbook of local nets, because, you know, I pick up some every now and then, but seems like there are more nets going on in this area than I realize, and it might be fun if someone who was organized like you just put together a list of all the local nets, what time they meet, on what frequencies, that kind of thing. Have you started joining any nets yet?
One problem with that, some of the nets are kind of past my bedtime, so, I've heard a few on and just turned them on and checked in a few times. I've only checked into the CedarTechNet using pre-check-in. I haven't been able to actually in-person check-in because, you know, it's past my bedtime. So, you know, hopefully one time I can, you know, maybe try that. I'm not sure yet. I don't know how I'm going to... First, I have to get, like, a list of their repeaters, and I don't know. That'd be a challenge. Maybe I'll take that on sometime.
Point. Yeah, you're right. A lot of them meet late in the evening, which actually, it's not too convenient for those of us with young kids either. It's not quite my bedtime, but it is my kids' bedtime, so I don't usually get to join the nets either. all right, well, I'll see. I might make some progress trying to make a list, and if I do, I'll check in with you. Maybe we can combine our notes someday. But yeah, who was it you were chatting with just a few minutes ago? Was I right that it was Shane? Who was that? I think it was KZ4M.
I didn't bother to look up his name or call sign in my logbook, so I really don't know. Sometimes I just, you know, carry on conversations and don't really know the name because, you know, I believe I made contact with him before and I think I recognize the voice. It just, you know, I'm having a hard time, you know, like remembering all the names on here. It's just fun names to remember. But the more I talk to them, the more I get to know them better and their names.
Okay. Hey, there it is. But I don't think that was the same station that was on a few minutes ago. Anyway, go ahead, N4Z. Okay, I think that's Shane, am I right?
Simon, how are you? Tom is KZ4M. And Alexander, I looked up that repeater. If you have a pencil, I can, or something to write with, which I think you do, I can give it to you.
Yeah, that was the repeater that we were talking about when I was talking with, like, Wayne and all that group.
About the guy that drives a little red Dodge pickup truck and parks at Walmart. And I was going to tell you where I think you could probably find him.
All right, pencil and paper ready.
Pickens/Glassy Mountain repeater. It's 147.195.
7.195. Is there an offset or a PL tone?
A positive offset of 600, which your radio should do. And the PL tone is 141.3.
For the frequency, I got 147.195. And for the offset, I got... a positive 600 for the PL tone, 141.3.
Correct. And the ham radio operator that I believe that truck belongs to, his call is WR4XM, Whiskey Romeo 4, X-ray Mike.
WR4XM?
Yeah, I see his truck there all the time, too. The few times I'm there, I've seen it several times. So, and I've actually talked to him. He's a real nice gentleman. But you might be able to find him on that repeater if you can reach it.
I'll try. I just have to figure out how to make my radio do the PL tone. I haven't quite figured out how to set the PL tones, but... probably just need to hunt in the owner's manual a little bit more.
Somewhere. Anyway, let me, I'm backing up to another dock and I gotta go in here. And good to talk to you this afternoon. And Simon, good to hear you. Hope you have a Merry Christmas. And Alexander, your family as well. Merry Christmas. N4ZLK.
Merry Christmas and 7th 30s.
Yep, Simon's still here. And Shane, if you're listening, yeah, good to hear your voice, and I'll catch you on the air some other time. But yeah, Alexander, yeah, like I said, I'll see if I make any progress just coming up with a good list of repeaters. And there's probably someone listening in the club who already has a master list. But anyway, until I find out who that is or where that list is, I'll see what I can do as far as just making some notes, and I'll let you know if I make any progress.
We'll do. I'll maybe see if I can make some progress myself here.
And yeah, as Shane reminded me, KZ4M, that's Tom. Tom's in Greer, and he was actually my examiner when I got my license back in March. And then it wasn't until a few months later that we caught each other on the air and learned we both had a, you know, a KZ call sign. Anyway, I'm at my destination, so I'll have to let you go. But I just wanted to check in. So hope you're doing well, and hope you have a Merry Christmas. So KO4ULP, KZ4TMA, I'll be clear after your final.
Also have a Merry Christmas, KO4ULP, clear.
K4M Mobile.